Well, it's good to be with you today. This is the last Sunday that we are going to be focusing on prophecy from the Bible. And I hope that you have received a blessing from studying and looking at prophecy with us for the last month. We know that that is not the only thing in God's Word that we need to study, but it is a very, very important thing, as it makes up somewhere between 26 and 27% of the Scripture. That's very important. So if you're going to avoid prophecy, as many do today, you're going to avoid about a third of the Bible. So just keep that in mind. And Jesus made it very clear, when you study prophecy, you will receive a blessing. Because at the end of the day, prophecy really is all about Jesus. Okay? So before we get into the study today, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come here. We thank you, Father, that we have your word, that you inspired men to write through all the years and many years ago, that we can put our trust and our faith in your word. And Father, today we want to hear from you, not from me. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us here today through your word and through the message. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles with me today, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to move along fairly quickly, just for sake of time. And, oops, get things in order here. As we look around our world today, we realize, let me get in here. That so many things are changing and so many things are happening, and they're happening at great speed. One of the things that I've said as one that's in agriculture, one of the hardest things today in our operation is staying up with change. Things are changing so fast and so often that we are steadily making adjustments in our business and to a large degree in our own lives to all the changes that we see happening around us today. In other words, it's beginning to affect not only me, but everyone else. And so often, we don't worry about things that aren't affecting us, do we? Until it hits us. When it hits us, then we begin to think about it a lot more serious. I know of people that have had illnesses that I'm aware of. They exist, cancer, different things. But until it hits us, sometimes we don't realize the full magnitude of things. And today I want you to know, I want us to be aware of what's happening, but I want us to fulfill our purpose. God has a purpose for every person here today in His kingdom. There are things that we need to be doing as believers and as followers of Jesus Christ. But in doing so, there are some things that we are going to face. And there's one of the things that he talks about is trials. He said, we're going to have trials with us always. There are people here today that are facing some kind of trial. We've already heard of some. They may be different and for different people, but there's some trials and tribulations that are happening right now. But here in chapter 3 of Timothy, I want you to imagine where Paul is. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison. He knows that he is about to be at the end of his life. So when you look at the life of Paul, and if you study the New Testament and see all of the things that he faced and had to endure to further the gospel and bring the gospel to the Gentile world and to the Jewish world of his day, of which he was one. Paul had experienced already the trials and tribulations that would come and continue to come after he was gone. And I want you to know here today, as we study about prophecy, I don't know how long I've got. You don't know how long you've got. We don't know. But it could be pretty short. And today, my desire is to share with you, as Paul did, what to look out for in the days ahead, And then what are you going to do about it? Where are you going to be? If we think this is tough, it's been said, cheer up. It's going to get worse. Okay? And you might say, well, how can those two possibly go together? How can I cheer up knowing in the days ahead that we're facing some horrific things? And that's what I want to leave with you today. What Paul had to say about the days that are ahead. I don't want us to leave here today thinking there's no hope. I remember a story, and I'll go through this quickly, of a man you may have heard of. His name is Dennis Prager. He is not a Christian, but he is an extremely, I would say, intelligent man. But anyway, he said when he was a young man in Israel, the terrorist thing was going on so much that if you wanted to get a landline telephone, it was like a 2 to 6 year wait. Can you imagine where we would be? But they went down, him and his dad went down to the place where you get a phone and you apply for a phone. And the old Jewish guy came out and he said, what can we do? And he said, well, we would like to apply for a telephone. And he said, okay, just fill this out. And he filled it out. And he said, now how long before I can get a phone? He said, well, it's probably 2 to 5 years, maybe more. And he just couldn't believe it. He was very upset. And he said, is there absolutely no chance whatsoever of me getting a phone quicker than that? And the old Jewish guy looked at him and he said, yes, there's a chance, but there is no hope. Okay? Paul even wrote in Scripture, there were times when he was shipwrecked that he felt like there was no hope. So even Paul at times felt like there was no hope. But we're going to see how through putting his faith in Jesus, that was the only hope he had. And that's all we have, okay? So let's begin today. I'm going to move along fairly quickly, okay? Even though Paul never lost his faith, he knew that there was perilous times to come. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Okay, he didn't say it could happen that you may have some perilous times ahead. He said you are going to face perilous times. Perilous meaning we have some really rough days ahead. Now, what we're seeing, and if we just stop right now in the day that we're in and we look around, you could probably give me some things that you don't see much hope in, do you? There's some perilous times, folks, that we're in right now, and it is going to get worse. Not because I'm a fortune teller, but because God's word says so, and I believe God's word, okay? And he says here, they will come. Now, he is writing, remember, to Timothy, his protege, that he knows is going to continue, if the Lord lets him continue, while Paul realizes that his life is about over. And he is going to write to Timothy, and to me and you, by the way, what to expect in the days ahead, and what are we going to do about it. So be aware of what's happening, but let's fulfill our purpose. So, verse 2 says, he's going to go into basically a catalog or a list of things that we can expect, okay? He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And verse 5 is where we'll stop for a bit. Having a form of godliness, just denying its power, and from such people, turn away. So if we look at the first bit of the list there in verse 2, he talks about how things are going to become really, really ungodly. Now, when you remove God from society, or you remove him from your nation or from your group, or now we are seeing the stage being set to remove God on a worldly scale. Would you agree? We see it all over. We want God out of our schools. We want him out of our universities, by the way, which most are already, just so you know. Okay? Remove God out of our government. Remove God out of everything we possibly can. That's the way the world is going. Right today, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but there is a world climate conference going on today in Glasgow, in Scotland, where you have all the world elites getting together, and we're not going to get into this for very long, but I just want you to be aware. We're talking about being aware. Their plan is already written. You can read it for yourself. It's called COP26, or COP26, okay, if you want to look it up later. Their plans are being set. They're getting ready to really bring in their agenda and their goal, okay? To sum it all up quickly, their idea is to stop all things that are harming Mother Earth. And guess who's involved? Now they've not only went from the elites getting together, they've gone to religious leaders getting together to support this thing. Pope Francis is the head of the religious side. He's bringing all kinds of other religious, remember that, leaders together. Now we're going to get together with the world and work with the worldview to save planet Earth when God says, I'm going to destroy it. You see, I do believe in climate change. That may shock you, but I do. But I believe it's God that knew it was going to happen a long time ago. And man has decided that he knows what's causing it and how we're going to stop it. And God looks down and laughs. That's what it says in Psalms. Man makes his plans. So I just want you to be aware of that. So things are really, really changing quickly. So when we look at this list, if you look at that list, I hope that none of us fit one of those. Okay? When you look at that, I hope that we are, for men will be lovers of who themselves. You see any of that going on? It's all about me. Is it all about you? It's all about Jesus. That's what it's about, okay? Lovers of money, any of that going on? We could go on and on and on here, but this list is incredible. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to take note of this. Do you think any of these things have been going on for a long time? Every single thing you see there. He's not saying this is something new. That's not what Paul is saying, but here's what he is saying. He's saying it's going to be like, we can read another scripture, it's like a woman who is pregnant and about to give birth. How does she know she is about to deliver a child? When the birth pains become more intense and more often. And that's what he's saying here. These things have existed for a long time. But what we're going to look at in this list is things that are going to become more intense. You're going to see more of it, more of these things happening, and we need to understand, as we see these things beginning to increase more and more and more, and I don't know about you, but I can feel it. I can see it, and I can feel it in everyday life, okay? We know this. We are getting closer, and we're going to find out in just a minute as we read on what's going to happen and what Paul is referring to when he says in verse 1, know this, that in the what? The last days. And that's what we've been looking at. The last days. Okay? We don't know the day, the time, nor the hour. We don't know. But he has made it very clear, if we study his word and the prophecies that he had men write down, that we can know the time and the season that we are in. You and I. There is a generation, the Bible speaks very clearly, of a generation, and I believe that we are part of that, by the way, from Scripture. We won't go into that. It's a bit of a study on its own. But I do believe that we are part of the generation that will not pass away until we see these things happen. Okay? I believe we are. Okay? According to Scripture, a generation is roughly 70 to 80 years. That's about what we got. Now, it's not saying that everyone that's here will see it, because some of us will pass on. But if you live the average age, there is a generation that will not pass away till we see these things happen. As we move on, we look at that list, and then we you can look at some of those when you get home and just ask yourself if you see a lot of these things happening. But remember, they're going to get more intense, and you're going to see it more and more and more, which I think we already are. But I want to go to verse 5. Here's a big one. Having a form, remember that word, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You ever looked at that verse and say, now what is he talking about? How can you have a form of godliness? Let me tell you, it's happening all over the place. Steady. Let me tell you what it is. In the last days, which I believe we're in, we are going to see more and more of this. You're going to see people who come and pretend to be godly. They will talk godly talk. They will come in and join the church. They will even get baptized. And yet, it's just a form of godliness. A form of godliness, but denying its power. What's he talking about? Let me tell you this. If it is a form of godliness that you are practicing, or anyone else, when these times start to hit that we're talking about very seriously, and they're about to, if not already, these are the ones that it says will be apostate. You might ask yourself, how can people that are Christians fall away? Let me tell you, this is their description. These are people that have a form of godliness, but when the heat's on, when things get hot, they'll say, forget that deal. There's nothing in that. I know people personally that I believed came, they looked serious and everything else, and the first time there was a little bit of hard going, I never seen them again in a church, ever. Let me tell you, that is a form of godliness. I pray that none of us have just a form of godliness. I hope your faith is real, and that you're ready for whatever comes, that you will continue in your faith as Paul and persevere. That's what we need to do. Then we can say what Paul did at the end of this, okay? So keep that in mind. And it says, from such people turn away. So if there's people out there, listen, if you want to be deceptive and deceive people, you know what? The Bible talks about a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf would never sneak into a flock if he looks like a wolf. I guarantee you. He's got to look like a wolf. I mean, like a sheep, pardon me. And that's the only way that he can get in and devour a flock. Satan, that's what he does. So be very careful. We've talked about deception, how Jesus in Matthew 24, four times, spoke about deception and being deceived. You can be deceived so easily if you are not in God's Word. Okay? Be in God's Word. That's your only hope, by the way, is if you're in God's Word, know God's Word, and you're one of His, you will not be fooled. Okay? I just want to encourage you in that. Okay? Then we'll move on. We'll start in verse 6. He's going to address something a little different. He said, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What he's saying here is, listen, ladies, he's not saying that all women are gullible, okay? Okay, but what he is saying, there's some bad men out there. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't worry near as much. Now, maybe the boys don't know this. They're about to find out. I never worried nearly as much about my boys and their dating and all of that as I did my girls, realizing they could be fooled too, okay? And realizing that my girls might have been less susceptible, I don't know, but I knew that it was possible. And for that reason, I always worried about some of the slick guys that could talk the talk and come in and smooze you. At the end of the day, you link up with them and you find out you're linked up to a different person than you thought they were. Huh? Now listen, sometimes that happens a little bit in our marriages. Those are just adjustments. We come from two different backgrounds, okay? We have to make some adjustments, okay? But all it's saying here is there are going to be people who are going to go, and here's the bottom line. Look for the weak people, a person that's weak. In other words, not weak physically, but because of their situation, they're involved in things they shouldn't have been involved in. Their life is a wreck. They're desperate. And someone comes along and says, hey, I recognize that. I recognize that. I think I'll take advantage of that person in their weakness. A pack of wolves always looks for the weak animal to split it away from the flock and take it down. Be aware of that. Be careful of that. Okay? And it says, now as Jabez and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Okay, now who is he talking about here? Anybody know who those two characters were? Anybody? Don't be afraid, speak up. No? Let me tell you who they were. You remember when Moses was getting ready and he was dealing with Pharaoh to get his people out of Egypt? These two guys were very demonic and had powers. And believe me, they weren't just magic. These guys had powers. Let me tell you something. Satan has people working for him that have some powers. Psychics. Now, I know for a fact that I have seen where they use psychics to find people. Does it always work? No. But I want you to know, Satan does allow some of his followers to have some demonic power. Here's the problem. It never leads to Jesus. It always leads away. So what these two individuals did, when Moses, remember, he went in and he threw down his stick, and what happened? It turned into a snake. Guess what? Pharaoh's guy said, ha, that's nothing. I can do that. Same thing, okay? I can turn the river to blood. So can I, okay? So what happens? If we're not careful in the days ahead, folks, it's very clear. These people that deceive are going to have powers that will fool most of the world. It will draw them to them, and they will say, hey, this is the guy we've been looking for. The world is getting set for this one world ruler and one world leader. It's getting set. We can see the steps moving quicker, faster, with more intensity. The birth pains are getting stronger and stronger. Okay? So we see that happening. So what he's saying here is, don't get all excited when you see these kind of things happen that are deception. Okay? And here's what he says. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. What happened in Pharaoh's day? Boy, I'll tell you, if you were watching this event, I'm sure a lot of them said, well, Moses, you got nothing special. Look what our guys can do. Pharaoh was proud of them. And yet, how long did it last? When God got his people headed for the promised land, they hit the Red Sea, God parted the waters, and he said, you know what? You've deceived my people as long as you are going to. Boom. When the Israelites got across, God shut the door on Pharaoh's army, and that was the end of it. It is coming to this world again. There's a time coming when God is going to return, and he says, you have deceived the world long enough. It's all over. Your time is up. Okay? That's what he's talking about there. So, Paul said, you know, these things are going to happen, but what are we going to do about it? What are you and I going to do on a day-to-day basis? Okay, I'm going to run a little over. I hope you'll forgive me. I'll ask for forgiveness if I do. Please, I just want to finish this up quickly. So here we go. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And take note of that, endured, and out of them all, the Lord did what? He delivered me. You see, if we lose sight of the goal, if we lose focus, we will get off track, won't we? I want to focus on Christ and what he's done for me, Kurt Hale. Do I fail him sometimes? Absolutely, I do. But as my dad used to say, quit messing around and get back up and get at it. Listen, when we fail, ask for forgiveness and get up and say, let's go. We're in a battle, folks. We really are. But I want you to know something. It's already been won. Now, how many would go to war? I wonder how many of the World War II veterans went knowing that, I'm not worried about this. We're going to win it anyway. They really didn't know till it was over, did they? But here's the difference. You and I already know who's won the victory, right? We just need to keep doing all we can to persevere, and not just so we have an existence, but so we can win other people that are not ready. That's what our job is, and that's what our purpose is, to lead godly lives, be ready in season and out of season to give an answer to those who say, what's this Jesus thing all about? Why are you different? You ever notice? We've got homophobes, we've got xenophobes, we've got lots of phobes, right? But I never do hear about Christian phobes, because the world don't really care. You don't ever see on CNN or any of these other news stations, some poor Christian over there got persecuted and killed. If you do, you surprise me, because they really don't care. They want us removed, the world does. But here's one thing I want to tell you. This may shock you. It's not being said to shock you, but it may. I do believe in divorce. Did you know that? Yeah, I do. If you're in love with this world, I want you and I want to encourage you to divorce it. Be done with it. This world is going to get worse and worse and worse really, really fast. This is not about sensationalizing the events that are coming, but I want you to know, according to God's word, it's a reality. And if you're young, you may look at it differently. If you're older, you may say, well, I'm about at the end of my days. That's good enough. I'll be out of here. But listen, what was Paul doing here? Paul was saying, I know my day's about over. It's almost done. But Timothy, I want you to be faithful and continue doing God's work regardless of what happens. It's not going to be easy, but we can persevere if we put our faith and our anchor in Jesus Christ. That's where it is. It won't matter if your ungodly friends, what they think isn't going to change a thing. Okay? Because we're all going to have to answer for ourselves someday, no matter who we are. So I want to encourage us here today to think about this in closing. We come here every Sunday. Someone speaks a message. We have singing. And I enjoy it every time. Okay? But I want you to know, this isn't where the action really is. We need to, when we walk out these doors today, be aware of what's happening and what's coming. But we need to go into the world of people we know and people that we influence, hopefully in a good way, that somehow, as DK said last Sunday, this is a time maybe like no other in history where we have opportunity to say, look, here's what we believe, and this is why things are happening the way they are. You better get ready. You better get your faith in Jesus Christ, because that's your only hope. This world is going to end, okay? But in closing, I just want to remind you, I'm going to go to back to Matthew 24, I believe it's 33. No, that's not right. John. I think it's in John. I got to remember here. John. I'll find it. Okay, sorry. I was mixed up. John 16, 33. So turn to your Bibles, John 16, 33, and that's where I want to close. Here's what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Listen, people, as somebody said not too long ago, we need to just calm down. The world is fighting and scrapping, even in the churches. We've seen it here. We need to just calm down. Let's calm down. Let's back up and really look at what's happening. Satan doesn't need a heyday in this church. We need to be at peace with each other. We need to be at peace with the world. But listen, we really need to know what Jesus said here. That in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. We know that. But be of good cheer. Even Jesus said it. I have overcome the world. You see, what the world system is trying to do is overcome the world through environmentalism, climate change, making laws and regulations. But listen, Jesus said, don't worry about them. You worry about me. I have already won the victory. I have overcome it on the cross. You put your faith in me, listen, I'll take care of the rest. Don't worry about it. Okay? So in closing today, if you have not done that, if you have been putting your faith in yourself, in this world, you're going to be sadly disappointed at the end of time. Very sad. Okay? But I want you to be ready. One person said, get ready and stay ready. You see, we will not be caught like a thief in the night. We're not going to be surprised. If you know God's word, he is speaking about the ones that are going to, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Those are people that don't look at God's word. They don't care about it. They're not prepared. They are going to be shocked when Jesus comes and takes us out of here, if you're one of his. They're going to say, what just happened? Now, I'm sure they're going to have an explanation already for us, okay? But it doesn't matter. Okay, but that's the important thing, that we need to be ready, okay, that he will not come like a thief in the night. See, we're expecting him. If I'm expecting someone to come and break into my house or into my business and steal everything, you think I won't get ready? Listen, I've been there. I got caught. I wasn't ready, and I had some people break in and get some stuff from me, okay? But that's what he says, okay? We want to be ready. We know it's happening. We know it's coming. Now get serious about our faith. Let's get serious about it. When we go to share the gospel, don't let fear set in. If you're afraid and it's fear, that's not of God. I want you to know, the spirit of fear did not come from God. It comes from Satan. He uses fear to discourage, stop us from progressing, and he is using all kinds of the fear factor right now in our world today to scare every one of you. And to keep you inactive and go into your little huddle and say, I'll just do whatever I can to just survive. You got preppers prepping. I've watched them. They build their little fortresses. Oh, they've got armaments and they've got food. They've got everything. They're going to protect themselves. Let me tell you, it ain't going to happen. I don't think it's a bad idea if you think you're going to have a power outage for a week or all that stuff, or maybe the grocery stores are closed, whatever. Go ahead. I have no problem with that. But if you think that you're going to save yourself when this gets really hot and serious, think again. You're wasting your time. Okay? What we need to do is be ready to meet Jesus. That's the kind of prepper I want to be. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, that we not be discouraged, but that we can be encouraged, and that we can have peace only because of you and what you did for us on the cross. We pray, Father, that we will not have a spirit of fear, but most of all, that we will seek the truth in everything. What we hear, what we see, may we really seek the truth, and may we find it through your word, which is the only place that we can. Be with us today as we leave here. Father, help us to be mindful that there are those out around us that are in our circles of influence. We don't have to stop the occupation that we're doing, but during the operation of our occupation, anyone that we meet, people that we deal with on a daily basis, mostly help us to live a godly life that they will recognize. And then when they ask us, we can share of the hope that lies within each one of us. And we ask this all in your precious name. Amen.
Hi. Can I get the elders to join me in the front, please? Stan, Josh, Zylstra, Kurt, Lawrence, Joe, and Matt. Doesn't matter where you stand. We just have these cards here for you guys on behalf of the congregation. Bridget and I have the privilege of speaking for the church today. We just want to say thank you for the many, many years that you guys have given of your time in service and poured out to the lives of many people here in our congregation. Some of you guys are new, but we want to say thank you for your willingness to step into that role, to say, I'm going to use the gifts that God's given me to serve the people of this church. I'm not going to get emotional. You guys show us love in the way that you guys serve, the many hours that you guys are on your knees and just spending time with the Lord and speaking on our behalf. You guys seek truth so that you guys can then take that truth and serve us in that way. And we want to say that we love you and that we care for you, and that as a church, we're going to continue to pray for you guys as well as you guys serve us in that way. Darcy, can I call you up? And Darcy's just going to pray over you guys so we can return that love and let us present you to the Lord.
Thank you, Allison. Yeah, as we recognize you guys this morning, as a congregation, on behalf of the congregation, we really want to thank you and recommend you. We've seen some hard times and we've seen some good times, and that's not to be forgotten. These are the men that, when you hear clean up on aisle three, these are the men standing here that go for that, right? So we're sure grateful and thankful for that. As Allison asked me to pray over you guys this morning, I was thinking about it. And if I kind of broke down elder, so if you start with E, I was thinking about that, and I said a man who is educated in the word of God. If you look at the L part of it, a man who is a leader of the family of God. And if you look at the D, it's a man who is dedicated to the dedicated to the church and God's word. And if you go to the E, the next letter, man who is also an evangelicalist to all people. And if you look at the last letter, R, is a man who is ready to love people, share the good news, and to guide the church. That's what we feel. This morning, if you're grateful and thankful for these men, if you would give me a great big amen.
Amen.
Here you are. So, if you would just stand with me this morning as we pray over these men. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, and thankful also for the calling on these men's lives as they come forward, take your calling, and help to guide this church, guide the people of this church, Lord. We know that your hand is in that, Lord. Lord, just keep your hand of protection upon these men. Protect their hearts, protect their spirits, and protect their minds, Lord, as they take on these tasks. And Lord, that they would be able to seek you first in everything they do, Lord. And be with this congregation. Help us to be diligent in praying for these men, lifting them up, and making sure that we do our task also, Lord. And be with us now. In your precious and holy name, amen.